This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to State Senator Tom McClintock about SB 18. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
When we last spoke, you were speaking against Proposition 71. What were the major complaints or principles that were being violated here that that you raised at that time?
Well, accountability, conflicts of interest, fiscal irresponsibility.
Okay, now the people of California voted essentially 3-2 to pass it. To what do you attribute that?
Well, a $20 to $30 million campaign by supporters promising to cure everything from baldness to AIDS.
Ah, okay. And how much was spent by the opponents of the measure? Do you know?
I don't think they spent more than $200,000, so it was a pretty one-sided debate, and the public didn't hear the whole... Unfortunately, the public's hearing the whole side of it now. It's what they're hearing they don't like.
Let's talk about process. It's my understanding that there are pretty ironclad principles in Prop 71 that prohibit it from being changed by the people in any way other than another initiative. Is that right, and is that going to figure into this?
Oh, of course it will. There's nothing that can be done to change these provisions short of another voter-sponsored initiative, and chances of that happening are extremely small. Meanwhile, $6 billion of public funds are going to be spent on this. By the way, only $2.5 billion being doled out as research grants. The other $3.5 billion all get shoveled to Wall Street for interest.
So the people who are going to make out the most are the Wall Street investors.
Yeah, the Wall Street investors and then the biotechnology companies. This is the biggest corporate welfare check in American history.
Okay, now your colleague in the California State Senate, Deborah Ortiz from Sacramento, has introduced SB 18. Have you taken a look at that?
Well, you know, it's amazing. All throughout the campaign, Deborah Ortiz promised voters that there was full accountability. She promised voters that the members of this commission were fully affected by conflict of interest laws. She reminds me of Claude Rains' character in Casablanca. Suddenly she's shocked, just shocked, to find out there's gambling going on in this establishment.
Well, apparently that was gambling. This seems like a sure thing.
Well, it's a sure thing if you're a biotechnology company on the take, and Deborah Ortiz assured the voters that that would never happen.
So does that mean it's a great irony, or that it's a particularly egregious proof that that there were parts of the bill that weren't obvious?
Well, I would call it monumental hypocrisy.
So does that tend to detract from her as a messenger of reform here?
I believe it does. And again, I debated her during the campaign. I pointed out each of those flaws, and she denied them vigorously.
So what do you account for the fact that she's now trying to make changes that seem to go along the lines of your criticisms?
Well, it's an old bureaucratic term called CYA.
Ah. So you're saying she's essentially trying to have it both ways, as a critic and a proponent
of the... I just find it rather shocking that after she specifically assured voters that the conflict of interest provisions and the Open Meetings Act and Open Records Act all applied to deliberation of this commission, when she was specifically, bluntly told that they did not, she vigorously challenged that. Now, like Claude Rains in Casablanca, she's shocked, just shocked, to find out there's corruption involved.
Okay, I'm supposed to interview her in 9 more minutes, so I'm going to raise that issue with her.
Please do.
So,
if you're interested, I'll be happy to provide a tape of the debate. It was televised.
If you can, we'd be glad to, and we can get it properly digitized. We'd be glad to link to it from this interview page.
Okay, give Jennifer a call in my office.
Okay.
Have copies of the debate.
We'll do that. All right, well, given what you've just said, what are the chances, as you see them, for the passage of SB 18? And on top of that, I suppose there's the other issue, even if it does pass in its current form, what chances does it have of actually having any effect, given the restrictions against such reform in the initiative itself?
Well, I suspect SB 18 will pass unanimously.
Oh, okay.
the problem is, I don't believe it's going to have any legal effect. And Deborah Ortiz knows that she was one of the principal sponsors of this measure.
So are you saying that she and the other people who are going to support it are going to do it for effect, knowing that it won't have any legal impact?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. How are you going to vote on it?
Well, of course I'll vote yes on it, but I don't believe it's going to have any impact.
Okay. What do you know about where that will go next in the legal process, if it goes anywhere?
Well, I imagine the commission will use whatever funds it has available to it. Again, about, well, $6 billion total,
right.
Total funding to fight the measure in court. And again, as I understand it, the measure is very, very carefully written to prevent the legislature from correcting these flaws. And again, this is not something that should be news to anybody. It's in the initiative.
Okay, and you said it on our program and elsewhere as well.
Well, exactly. And oh. And again, this is what I find hypocritical is Deborah Ortiz, who categorically rejected every one of those details. Suddenly, has now decided she's going to lead a crusade, and it just I find it just. I just have to ask the question, where would be before the election?
Okay. Now, I interviewed Deborah Berger, who's head of the California Nurses Association. She was opposed to it as well. She suggests that the main problem is that whatever happens, it's not going to be legally viable against the Prop 71 defense.
That's my concern.
She suggests that those proposals be brought to the ICOC, the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, and that they be asked to adopt them on their own, which they may have the authority to do. What do you think of that proposal or strategy?
I'm all for it, but I'm skeptical that they'll actually do it.
Okay. Now, the author of
they were very careful in crafting this to assure that these defects couldn't be corrected. The only way to correct those defects was to reject Proposition 71. When each of these defects was brought to the public, Deborah Ortiz denied them. And now suddenly she's had this revelation.
All right. Among the provisions of Proposition 71 were procedures for selecting the members of the ICOC and nominating people to head it. Apparently, three of the four state constitutional officers entitled under Proposition 71 to nominate chair and coach and vice chair of the commission have nominated Robert Klein, author of Proposition 71. What do you make of that substantively and procedurally?
Well, I know that Robert Klein is a politically active individual, and one of the things we warned against were the political appointees of politicians steering this commission.
Would you like to run for office and be nominated by all the people entitled to nominate people for that office?
I'm sorry?
I said, would you find it convenient to be nominated, say, for re-election to your office four times on four party lines?
Well, you know, again, this is a guy who has a direct conflict of interest. And by the way, no technical background in the field. He's a developer. But suddenly he's going to, he's being universally nominated by political officials. Being a major political activist in the state.
Now,
you know, one wonders how much expertise is involved and how much politics is involved.
I read an article in the San Jose Mercury today giving more detailed background about Mr. Klein than I was able to find any time during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And it cites some goings-on in Fresno there in which his consulting firm was essentially consulting for the city and consulting for the contractors at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The article is remarkably blasé in its failure to be at all annoyed by this state of affairs, and I'm wondering whether you are and whether this signals any kind of precedent for what's likely to happen if Mr. Klein becomes the head of the ICOC.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, but that sounds like a conflict of interest.
I'll send you the link.
And again, the working groups of this commission are exempt from the conflict of interest laws of the state of California. They were very careful to assure that they were exempting themselves from the most important anti-corruption laws on the book.
Okay, now, so if, as you've said, the bill is going to pass, but it will have no effect, and that it would be more or less impossible to launch a counter-initiative campaign, it looks like the people and taxpayers of California are stuck with this. What are you doing? What are you recommending that people who continue to have some of these concerns do?
Well, if Deborah Ortiz was serious, she would launch an initiative drive to collect the signatures necessary to rescind Proposition 71.
I'll mention that to her in a few minutes.
Good.
Thanks very much for talking to us, and I'll get back in touch with you about that video, and I'll get you a copy of the San Jose Mercury article.
Great. Appreciate that, Mark.
Thanks very much.
Bye. Bye-bye.